Hello and welcome to the We Can't Dunk podcast, coming to you live from the Duke Saloon in beautiful Victoria, British Columbia. I'm your host, Chris Aldridge, and as always, I'm here with Lunch Kit Lee Hanwood.
Hey, I got the last name. I'm ranking up as far as I can tell. I like that.
Leveled up, bro.
Yeah, I'm
more
loving
VC.
It. Yeah, glad to be here. It is a cold some bitch out here.
It is. We're toqued up. Speaking of which, I got to get my toque back on if you could carry the conversation for a second.
We're toque boys right now. I'm wearing the Los Angeles Lakers toque. Ryan, tell us about that toque that you got on. No, nothing. No,
I think
toque.
He wants to wait until.
Oh, he's staying silent. Yeah. Just silent, Ryan.
Ryan,
that
I
was so
up.
Annoying. That look that you gave me just now was so fucking annoying. Oh my god!
I'm also here with Ryan. I follow up too soon and too often, Brady.
On this day in 1605, the controversial play "Eastward Ho" by Ben Jonson, George Chapman, and John Marston is performed, landing two of the three authors in prison. This is significant, of course, because if the play was written today, it would be based on Kevin Durant as the franchise ho headed eastward to Brooklyn.
Yeah, he is a ho.
He is, isn't he?
For show.
For show. Yeah, he's like he's the party favor for sure.
Yeah, hard
total
to like that guy.
Seven seconds in heaven with Kevin Durant.
I hate you.
Yeah. Shoddy
All right,
not.
Before we move through some pretty, goofy topics, I'm just going to say we're going to have a longtime listener on the show, Drew Owen.
Drewy.
Looking forward to having him. He's been hounding us to be on, and I've been meaning to shout him out since like episode 12. And
have
like, I keep putting him in the outline to put something in, and it just like, we end up skipping it, or it just doesn't fit the conversation.
It's all love,
so tonight,
Drew.
We're doing it. Yeah.
It's all
we're
love,
doing
Drew.
It. He's coming in.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we talk about Mountain View, California every other episode.
Yeah, I know, right? And people, they won't even respond to us. We've given them addresses, emails. What do you need, guys? What do you need?
Everybody wants what they can't have.
Mountain View, we see where the listens comes from. We see that you're back. You're listening hard. Yeah. Maybe they just don't know they live in Mountain View. Maybe they're like just on the edge of the
border.
Yeah,
that could be
they live
it.
In Santa Clara. They just don't realize Mountain View's right next door. So we're going to move into a topic. It's about fantasy sports.
Interesting. Okay.
Ooh, so a lot of fantasy leagues will have a punishment, specifically football more than anything. We'll have a punishment for finishing last.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do this golf tournament every year. It was called the September Classic. The guy who finished last had to wear a tutu for the first round of the next year's tournament. So, you know, it's a punishment, an embarrassing thing you got to do.
That's not bad.
In this case, it's complete fucking savagery.
Okay.
So, are you familiar with Waffle House?
Yes.
Denny's, basically, 24-hour breakfast joint, specialize in waffles.
Yeah.
Okay?
That checks out.
This guy, I'm pretty sure this guy actually proposed the punishment and then lost.
That's always tough.
That's a tough dick to
Wouldn't
suck.
It be funny if this happened to somebody else?
And then you are somebody else. So what he had to do was, and I'm just curious if you guys would be on board to do this in any of your fantasy leagues, which is you go to Waffle House and you have to spend 24 hours inside the building.
Mm-hmm.
For every waffle you eat, you get 1 hour reduced from your time. Now, this guy, he tweeted out his progress, right? So he ate one and then two and three. He's feeling good. Now he's down to 21 hours inside a Waffle House. He ended up spending 12 hours and eating 12 waffles. And from the way he described these waffles, they don't go down easy.
Yeah.
Do you think you could be in there for less than 12 hours? Like, do you think you can eat 12 more than 12 waffles over 12 hours?
Maybe it's just me, and maybe it's because I've never actually eaten at a Waffle House, but
like, when you dinner plate size,
I feel like I get it. Turbo destroy.
Yeah, when you said that, I'm like, okay, that doesn't sound bad.
Yeah,
I could easily do that. Am I a little fucked
in the head?
Yeah. He was tweeting the action like minute by minute, basically, as he was there. So like, it took me a solid 15 minutes to read through all his tweets.
Yeah,
it sounded painful.
Well, let's not rule out the possibility that this guy is a complete little bitch.
There's pictures of him. He's like, he's a normal sized dude, probably about 5'10", 185.
Because I'm thinking, man, you put me into.
I don't like grown men under 200 pounds.
I don't trust them.
Are they even men?
Correct.
I don't trust them. But I feel like I could easily fuck up a bunch of waffles. No problem.
I feel like if it's like, oh, if you don't eat 24 waffles, you're going to have to stay in this Denny's for 24 hours. I feel like I'm butt-fucking my way through about 18 waffles real quick.
He went through six in the first, like, hour and a half.
That seems far too long.
Yeah.
Far too long.
Oh, Ryan's hands
going. The hand is going. Lee, well, like, do you agree?
I don't know. I feel
six
like
six in an I'm, hour and I'm a half. Those are amateur numbers. Yeah, you got to get those numbers up, bro.
I'm picturing a waffle getting put down in front of me and eating it in less than 2 minutes, and then the server being like, "Are you okay?" And then just bring another. Like, I feel like I could fuck up some waffles.
I feel like I'd order them in stacks.
Yeah,
and that's I want three. I want four.
That's what he did off the start.
But maybe there's something about Waffle House that we don't know.
This is what the theory sounded like. Like when he was explaining it, I think there's something about Waffle House waffles that are fucked.
There must be more
to it. Oh, well, they're absolutely terrible. They're not enjoyable by any stretch of the imagination. No. I know it's low quality.
Okay.
I've had a shitty waffle before. It's not a great experience. But could I eat them in relatively rapid succession to not spend a day there? Absolutely.
But, man, like, I'd fucking eat
the plate.
I've had times where, like, I'll sit in a continental breakfast at a hotel and just fuck up four waffles just for fun. And, like, those aren't good.
Yeah.
And I will just go to town on
I'd get violently drunk the night before, so I was very hungover when I show
and
up
just
to this
waffle
don't know
house. What the fuck
oh
is
yeah
going
you're
on.
Just like blacked out, just like feeding yourself waffles. That's it's kind of tough though, man. Like I can't appreciate like 24 hours because it's like, fuck, even if you tear through 18 of them, you're still sitting there for 6 hours, right? Like,
can you just
one
get
waffle
drunk?
Every 20 minutes, though,
do they
so
serve
not
booze?
That crazy.
I know they definitely don't serve booze, man. You imagine if they served liquor at Denny's,
they do.
Do they?
Yeah, but only till 11 here. In the States, they might serve it all day.
Yeah, they have shitty beer, shitty cider, and shitty wine.
Tequila,
and like,
I didn't realize
tequila
that.
Shot waffle, tequila shot waffle.
Fuck me, that turned into a NASCAR convention real quick.
I don't know. Either way,
making a left turn.
Either way, this just inspires me to think that like the three of us need to find a local food challenge and just go fuck it up.
There is that
you know
actually
what? That's a great fucking idea.
Yeah.
In Royal Oak, there is a fucking supersized mega bowl of pho soup.
Oh, that, I saw that. It's like $27.
It's like
$27,
and it's like people have done it, so we'll kill it.
I'm down.
But for that. Argument's sake and bragging
I'll
rights,
beer,
we'll,
I'll beer bong that bowl of pho.
Yeah.
The other one is there's a place out in Langford. I think it's like the Goldstream Cafe or something like that. It's right on like Goldstream Road, but they have a burger where it's one of those things where it's like, oh, if you can finish it, you get it for free and you get your picture on the Wall of Fame.
The Prairie Inn out in Sydney has one of those, or Brentwood or whatever. It's a motherfucker.
Yeah? Have you tried it?
I didn't finish, yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
It's like a whole head of lettuce, three tomatoes, two onions, five pickles, like 2.5 pounds of beef. Like it's.
Am I fucked for just feeling hungry when you say that?
Yeah.
Dude, it was delicious. I didn't even mind spending $45 on it.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't sound terrible.
But either way, we should try this.
In a fantasy football league I'm in, the last place punishment is you have to get a tattoo on your ass.
Ooh. Oh, what?
No. In the UDL, the one that Justin Manns just recently won, congrats, there was a bet within the league between our friend Hugh McIntyre, does great taxes, local boy.
Huey Mac, go to him, he'll sort you out.
And then, Huff McIntyre, and then Nima Rahani's dad, I can't remember his dad's name, but they bet some stupid bet, and nice. And it ended up being you had to ride a tricycle in a diaper around Victoria Golf Course.
Oh, see,
and
that's
if you don't
worse.
Know about Victoria Golf Course, it's the oldest golf course in Canada. It's quite prestigious.
Mm. Prestigious, some might say.
Is that the one right on the water?
Yes.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Canada's Pebble Beach.
Right next to Uplands. Yeah. That's a tough dick to suck.
So Huff has a lot of body hair, and that's
God.
How I know. Anyway, speaking of challenges.
I'd rather eat the waffle.
Recently, I don't know if you remember our guest Cole Baines, but his podcast, the Half Cocked Podcast, recently sent out a challenge to the boys of the We Can't Dunk.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
It was a sports challenge saying that they could beat us in any sport, but clearly we're a basketball podcast, so we're going to play basketball. What should we do for a bet in that game for the loser.
A bet.
That is
not even
one.
A bet, like a punishment.
A punishment.
It's mostly
for
a punishment
place.
That we get to decide on for them making a poor decision.
Yeah.
Here's a good one.
Because it's going to the low block to Lee.
Or
to me, or to you.
Yeah, either or, man. I'm pretty sure they're so short and unathletic, I can post them up.
That's what I'm saying.
I feel like the winner gets to write the script for the loser's next podcast.
Opening segment, they just have to say it.
Serious.
That's real good.
We'll put it in the maybe bucket for sure.
Maybe
but
bucket.
I think I feel like it needs intro. To be more savage. This is a unique opportunity. They had the audacity to call us out.
When we've been nothing but nice.
Nothing True. But had them on the show. You know, shout out to the Half Cocked Podcast.
Have a listen.
The sheer audacity to suggest they could beat us at anything is downright appalling. In any case, it's going on. It's going down.
Like I would like to play them in 3v3 football too, because I'm just gonna throw.
Oh, I can catch a ball.
I'm gonna throw spirals over the top.
Catch a cold in the desert. We got Lunch Kid Lee here playing tight end. I'll be a slot wide out.
Yeah. I'm just literally gonna throw high passes to 7 feet, 2 steps in front of Lee.
Figure that out.
Yeah, good luck, guys.
Yeah, go get it, Gronk.
Yeah,
Gronk kit.
Oh, average 9 yards a carry.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm worried about is the hockey.
We can't play hockey because we don't play hockey.
Fair. Yeah, yeah, no hockey and no soccer. Everything else, virtually everything else, get
soccer.
Absolutely devastated.
Yeah. But the basketball specifically, no
lawn
contest.
Bowling,
Cole
badminton.
Cole is the only one on their podcast who has played basketball,
and he's
as far
trash.
As I know.
And he's trash.
I mean, he wouldn't have played on my high school team.
Never seen him play.
Yeah,
I've played with Cole, and he blends in on the court, and he didn't get laughed out of the gym
friend move.
But
to
it's
say that.
Yeah,
I do.
It's tough
Cole's
when that's
my boy, so I don't want to shit talk
when
him too
it's
bad,
your
but.
Best player, though.
Yeah,
Well, I didn't notice him.
But Josh, Josh, on the other hand, is also my boy, and I feel 100% confident and comfortable saying that. Josh, I love you, but I know you can't play basketball for shit.
Your nuts are going to be somewhere near his face while you're doing the sickest finger roll over top of him.
I'm going to play in a cheap suit.
Yeah, yeah. I like
this
idea.
I'm going to play in a cheap suit.
With a beer in hand.
With a beer. Honestly, a three-point line suit, beer in hand.
You
can
stand
we still win.
You can stand corner pocket, just shoot one-handed threes while drinking a beer.
If for whatever reason you get in trouble and get double-teamed down low and you're in a weird position, you picked up your dribble, kick it to Ryan in the corner.
It's fucking string music. String music.
So that's how that's going to go.
I can't wait.
Basketball would get stupid. We almost shouldn't even do it.
I think that we should come up with a really good embarrassment for when we win. We write the opening to their show. We'll brainstorm when we're off air and figure that out.
Yeah, this is a
mere formality. It's coming down the pipe.
Lee, how's that ACL doing? We don't have to worry about
that.
Oh,
it is reconstructed and
also
okay.
In half court, Lee doesn't have to run.
I know, it's a beautiful
possession at one. I'm going to go bounce pass in play, lob pass, bounce pass, lob pass.
Much more importantly in half court, I don't have to run.
Yes.
Even more. But, his ACL could be fucked. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're not going to move.
I won't even have to leave
Another
the key.
Another question is
except
possession.
For every 3 seconds.
No, but you won't because it's going to be inbound, pass in one, layup in two.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Are we playing possession?
That's a murder
at
show.
At one, bro.
Oh, Popo at one. That's
at
tough.
One.
Yeah. They won't score.
It's 21-0.
There's no way they guard Lee.
They're also
There's just no way.
They're also not scoring even if it's not possession for the whole game. They're just not.
No, 100%.
I am confident they won't score on me.
Yeah.
I guess you're going to be in a suit, so you might get hindered a little
bit.
I'm not going to be in dress shoes, though.
Yes. I can
I'll
guard
be in
two
the
people.
Suit, but I'll
I can
have
guard two.
You and I can play a
1-1 zone.
Yeah, you're low, I'm high. We got this. Yeah. Ryan, you float, and by float, I mean drink your beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we get in a lot of trouble, run down to the corner of the key.
I believe wholeheartedly that it's an ass-kicking with me doing that.
I can't wait.
It's I'm actually completely irrelevant to the equation. That's the best part.
We could win 2-on-3, but we want you there in a suit drinking.
Oh, yeah, just for – and because the
a
chirps.
Flask with some fireball?
Yeah. Oh, the chirps are going to be top shelf. Me in the corner pocket just ruining their lives.
I cannot
wait. Hey, where y'all going?
Oh, that's a great way to move on.
Yeah.
Do you guys know that Gwyneth Paltrow has a lifestyle brand, whatever the fuck that
I
means.
I do. I do know about
this.
And
it's called Goop?
Yeah, it is called Goop. I've been on the website.
Tell me what she just launched to the world for them to enjoy.
Well, I don't know what she just launched, but what I do know is they have weird vagina stones.
This is the one. Oh, yeah.
That are made for putting in your vagina.
What she just launched is a scented candle, and the name of the candle of Gwyneth Paltrow's company, Goop, is This Is My Vagina Smell.
No.
Yes. No, it isn't.
Are you serious?
It's the name of it.
It's okay. Okay. I mean, you're fucking with it. It's hilarious, but it's not. You're fucking with it.
I'm not.
No, it's okay.
Google it.
Am I fucked up for wanting that candle?
Yeah, I don't know what is Gwyneth.
What is the candle?
I'm kind of.
I can't remember what Gwyneth Paltrow looks like.
She's hot.
She's hot. Yeah. I'll take two.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah.
I know we're taking a long time with our intro here, but did you guys hear about what happened in Houston? The Houston Astros.
Oh.
Not only did Houston just have a devastating loss after making a poor decision to not go for it in fourth and one.
Soft.
Oh, yes.
The next day, the Astros were just proven to have cheated in the World Series by having camera technology that's associated to a computer. And what it does is it reads the catcher's signals for all the different pitches. So they can relay that info to the batter through the base coaches. Right. So they know which pitches are coming, which is cheating.
An overwhelming advantage.
It actually is an overwhelming advantage.
Yeah.
It's like knowing that. It's knowing the play that they're going to run out off the timeout in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Fucked. So, big old asterisk there.
That's fresh off a World Series win.
This was 2017.
Okay.
I think they went back, watched the video after some complaints, and they were able to figure out
what
was going on.
So
biggest scandal in baseball since the steroid era.
Yeah, for me, though, like the real question is, does anyone give a fuck about baseball?
No, that's like, a great point, Lee, because nothing significant has happened since 2017, so they have to go back looking for a relevant news story.
Here's my thing, though, right?
Actually, you know what? It's been three seasons.
There was a third part to this, right?
Okay.
Because there was the football, and then they got their World Series taken away. And we're, I think, about 4 months before inevitably the Houston Rockets will collapse in the playoffs and get knocked out.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
That's
for sure.
three big old tough dicks to suck.
Yeah. What does it do to, we are a basketball podcast after all. What does it do to James Harden's legacy if he fails in the playoffs yet again?
It keeps it the same?
I think it tarnishes him because right now, people still think he's really good.
Oh.
Well, he's numbers on the board.
Really good. It's like, he's better than 06 Kobe.
Justin Manns was going to come on the show, the guy he was training, and the reason he couldn't call in is because he's like, the guy that I'm training just said that Houston, James Harden, is God. And I'm like, what?
Mm. He is Moses, maybe.
Yeah, bearded Moses.
He's Moses.
He's not even the best player in the league.
No.
Yeah. I don't think he's the best player in the league.
I hope he gets knocked out first round.
James Harden's awesome, and I don't want to be on record saying that he's bad, but like,
well, you're just ignorant if you say
he's figured
bad.
Out a nice little cheat code of how to get points, and it's working
for him. Yeah, that's like good for you. You know, I'm not mad at you for that. You get your buckets.
You're working the system.
Like, for the love of God, let's not act like if we dropped Kobe in today's game, it's not a 50-60 piece every single night.
Well, he'd have an off night here and there.
He'd have an off night. Yeah, his off night's 40, though.
Yeah. Season average, I'd put him at 43.8.
I like that. I like that number. He'd be hovering around 45 for about 6 to 7 years.
Yeah, prime Mamba versus prime Harden Harden look real bad.
Prime anyone.
Real bad.
Yet another playoff loss would be tough on that boy's resume, though. He needs to go deep. He needs to make it to the finals.
Well, that's not going to happen this year.
It's not.
No.
It's not going to happen.
Sadly, no.
It's not. Well, unless Anthony Davis goes weird on us.
What if James Harden just keeps putting up numbers and never makes the finals? Then what?
T-Mac.
Yeah, then it's just the same thing. Oh, yeah, that guy was really crazy on the Rockets. Cool story.
He was unstoppable in the regular season.
It hurts when those guys aren't able to perform like we expected them to.
Something about winning, man. He spent too much time around Chris Paul. It was the worst thing that ever happened to him.
All that being
remember
said,
when he pulled his hamstring, if he hadn't have done that, they would have won.
They would have won
3-2 on the Warriors.
What a coward.
Ryan, don't look now. Chris Paul is actually having an amazing season.
Oh, dude,
and
Chris
Paul
is
fun. The Thunder are good.
I know nothing about it because I don't see them on
just,
TV.
You just ignore it. But like the Thunder are doing well, man. Like
they're making the playoffs.
Chris Paul is carrying the team. Like, he's balling out.
Shai Gilgeous Alexander's going crazy.
They just voted him the number one. Like there's this Instagram page that I follow.
Yeah.
And every week they put the power rankings up of the Canadian players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And he just moved into one.
That would make sense. He's killing it down in OKC right now.
And Wiggins dropped a third. Jamal stayed in second.
Jamal Murray's, he's having a career year as well. He's killing people. He's finally rounding out his game full where he's actually looking like a point guard.
So there's been a question circling around the NBA. I believe this topic was started by the one and only local boy, Steve Nash. And that is that Luka Doncic is the greatest 20-year-old basketball player in the history of the NBA. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Who's going first?
Lee, I have no idea what you're going to say, so I want you to go first.
I don't have a goddamn clue what he might go Luka, to be honest. He's pretty Luka dick heavy, you know? Like, that's his jam.
Well, yeah. I don't see
why. Talk to the people, Lee.
I don't see why not, man. Like, when you watch Luka, first of all, he does not look like a 20-year-old. And
well, he's been playing against men for 6 years.
Every single time it gets mentioned, it's like, oh, shit. And like every time it can happen week after week. Oh, shit. He's only 20. Oh, he just dropped a 40-point triple-double. He's only 20.
A 40-piece?
And like, he's so composed. He really, like, everyone who tries to guard him is some sort of a mismatch. And even if he's smothered, he's still making plays. And the fact that he's only 20 really is mind-blowing. Like, he's carrying his team. He's playing really well. He does amazing stuff on the court. And, you know, I don't have to say this. I love Kobe, but when Kobe was 20 in the NBA, he wasn't doing shit because he was getting glued to the bench.
He was in a different league, too.
Yeah, right? Kobe's not the comp.
No,
Kobe's not the comp
at
20 years old.
You know, when LeBron was 20 in the NBA, he was good right away, but like he wasn't doing stuff the way that Luka is. Like, I know, for what I've seen in my lifetime, I can't think of another 20-year-old who's better. I mean, you'll have to go back in the history books to look it up, but the stuff that Luka's doing is crazy, and it makes me actually scared for the rest of the NBA to see what he's going to be like at 25, 26, 27 when he's actually in his prime. He's only going to get stronger and faster and more conditioned. Like, man, last year people were being like, oh, he's kind of chubby. Like, he's not even in good shape. Like, fast forward a couple years when he's going to be a little bit more built out, and like, this dude's a problem, and he's a problem on the offensive side of the basketball any way that you want it. He can get to the hoop
any way that you want it.
Three-level score, Lee.
Yeah, man.
Three levels.
He can score from anywhere that's a step inside from the half-court line, and I mean, you know, nobody's raving about his defense, but nobody's hating on his defense either. Like, he holds his own on the defensive end, and I got nothing to hate on for Luka. So as far as Steve Nash, like, hey man, I'm with you. You're a smart guy. You know more about basketball than I do. So I'm not gonna play ball
in the same gyms as you did.
I'm not about to disagree with Hair Canada. Our boy Steve Nash.
Throwback. That's like early 2000s.
Two-time NBA MVP, even though you didn't deserve it, but we love you.
How are we ever going to get him on the show if you say that?
Well, we just give him a cool nickname like the Nash an old treasure.
Yeah.
And he'll come on.
And I mean, oh, my
God. Yeah, that's
tasty. Did
you
just make that up?
No, that's Lee's. That's Lee's.
Really?
Yeah, but it was like last year when we were talking about it. But not to say that Steve Nash didn't deserve MVPs. He deserved MVPs just if that was just in a different year than when Kobe was happening to drop like 37 a game
whatever.
Yeah,
what he averaged fucking 46 points for 2 months.
That's
or some
just
shit.
A little tough.
Yeah, it was buckets.
But nonetheless, I love Steve Nash. And I fully agree
about the MVPs. Yeah. All right, I'm going next.
Oh, yeah, what do you got?
Okay,
you put the hood on here. You're
there.
Ready to go.
It's fucking cold in here.
It is fucking cold
in
here.
Chilly.
I feel like we haven't done a strong enough job describing how fucking cold it is
in
here.
Fucking cold in here. I can see a little bit of my breath.
I can see your breath.
Yeah. But yeah.
So what I'm gonna say is I'm a big fan of the old NBA.
Yes, you are.
The older, the better. The more physical, the better. The harder the defense, the better. You know, LeBron's era, soft as baby shit.
Baby shit.
And as I like to do, I like to go against Lee because Lee is like any player before 2005 was a big old bag of dicks, should have been a plumber.
Weird.
But.
Very weird.
I looked at everybody. Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal, everybody. Because I was looking for someone to pick. I looked at Magic Johnson when he was 20. But unfortunately, he was 21 when he was in the NBA Finals doing all that shit. And I fucking couldn't find anybody.
It's tough.
He is the best 20-year-old there. Oh,
interesting. Wow,
okay. He is, man. I had two pop in my head, and it was Shaq, and it was Magic Johnson. And I couldn't do it. And I went and looked. I looked at LeBron's stats, and, like, they're good, but they're nowhere what he is doing on the regular.
Yeah, they
and
weren't.
Shaq and LeBron, like, they're just nowhere near. Yeah, Kevin Garnett wasn't even close.
They're not your in-the-MVP conversation
Not
numbers.
Even close. And I watch Luka play, and I'm guilty, too, that I'm forgetting that he's 20 fucking years old.
Yeah.
And it is
every
wild.
Time you're
like,
he's
what?
Silky,
years old.
He's what? Fast, he's strong, his step back is crazy, his composure at the end of a game when pressure is on and the game is on the line, he doesn't even flinch.
Because yeah,
like I said earlier, he's been playing against men in pro leagues for fucking half a decade. So yeah. I agree. Steve Nash, Hair Canada, the national treasure, you're correct. He is the best 20-year-old ever.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Right on.
I hope for my own sake that you come up with a better argument.
Yeah, we didn't just spend 10 minutes all just long-windedly agreeing on this point.
Well,
I love when I can hear you clicking and you're about to prepare for a long chat.
No. Well, I will say this. I'm not advocating or arguing passionately and strongly against Luka Doncic as the greatest 20-year-old. The kid is absolutely unbelievable. I think that this next decade is going to belong to him. I think he's going to be the face of the NBA because I'm guilty of watching him and forgetting that he's 20. Like he is a boy.
Yeah. Baby boy.
He can't even drink in the United States.
He literally he can't walk into a bar and get a drink. He is a boy.
He can't go into the Casa Diablo when he's playing the Blazers.
Cannot go to the Casa Diablo.
He doesn't even know what he's missing.
Has no clue. Think about the $2 bills.
Has he even hit
bills.
Puberty
he
yet?
Could, yeah.
He doesn't even know if he wants to fuck ladies.
And that's the reality of it. Is it's difficult to say. You know what are we basing? You know what's the best 20-year-old player of that given season? Or where we expect like the trajectory of their career to go. Because for me, I think there is a very, very strong argument that Shaquille O'Neal was the better 20-year-old player than Luka Doncic, specifically because his prowess, especially when he was young and in Orlando on the defensive end of the court, Shaquille O'Neal was a fucking menace.
He was also the fastest fucking player in the league.
And that's the craziest thing, was you're talking 7 foot, 7'1", 7'2". He's 7'1", 7'2", but like a nasty, compact 275, 280-pound Shaq who could terrorize defenses. There was no defense in any era in history that could have figured out even a 20-year-old Shaq, let alone prime Shaq. So if I'm looking at a player at 20 years old, I'm comparing Luka Doncic to Shaquille O'Neal. For me, I'm taking Shaquille O'Neal all day long. Luka Doncic is exceptional. I understand that he does more statistically where you're going, look, it looks like he's doing a 30-point triple-double. Essentially, he is. But on the flip side, if you took that same 20-year-old Shaquille O'Neal and you dropped him in this NBA, I personally think he's 40 and 20, even at 20 years old, because I don't think that there's any defense that is set up. In fact, when I say think, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is no defense or player in the NBA that could even begin fucking with a 20-year-old Shaquille O'Neal.
You know,
I do know that this is a hypothetical argument, but nonetheless, phone's dead, don't have a laptop in front of me.
I was about to spit some stats for you.
I think Shaquille O'Neal averaged 23 points, 12 rebounds, and about 3.5 blocks.
You're
close,
weirdly accurate.
23.4 points, 14 rebounds, and 3.5 blocks.
See, like,
that's fucky.
But you also need to keep in mind of that era. That is when the big man fucking dominated. Right, it wasn't Shaquille O'Neal playing a bunch of Draymond Greens. It wasn't Shaquille O'Neal playing a bunch of PJ fucking Tuckers at center. Right,
we're talking. That's just a shame to basketball, though.
No, but it's the reality of today's game.
It's gross.
It's the reality of today. You're talking about a 20-year-old Shaquille O'Neal doing those numbers against the guys we always talk about: Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, you know, Alonzo Mourning, on and on.
Ooh,
and on.
Charles
and on
Barkley.
On. Yeah, exactly. All these guys who were elite down low. They were big. They were nasty. They were tough. And even a 20-year-old Shaquille O'Neal was big dogging the fuck out of them. What did you say? 23.5, 14 rebounds, and 3.5 blocks.
Yeah, that's the thing that gets me the most. I didn't know he had 3.5 blocks.
And
like,
you didn't mention
insane.
Field goal percentage. I'm going to guess it's north of 50.
It's 56.
56%, right? Like,
how do you get so many blocks? Was it just because guys didn't know about him? Well, I'm going to challenge him.
But, Lee, you got to remember, he was a completely different athlete when he was in Orlando. Like I said, he was. You have 7'1", 7'2", 280 pounds, quick, fast, lean, bunch of muscle, defined, ripped, torn up, could run up and down the court 35, 36 minutes.
He averaged 3 blocks. Five out of his first 9 seasons.
But what's crazy is who averages their career high in blocks as a rookie? That's fucked up.
Well,
that is fucked up.
Shaquille O'Neal with the highest vertical jump that he ever had.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that's the thing is, like, when we're talking about both ends of the court, people go, yeah, Luka Doncic, you know, you're not a complete liability, but you're not elite. You're not locked down. Right, we're not sticking you on the best scorer and he's out of the game. Right, Shaquille O'Neal, elite. He was an absolute terror on the defensive end of the court. If you drive into the lane, off the fuck limits.
But like, how's he gonna deal with Rudy Gobert?
Yeah, at least try to figure out that riddle too.
The whole time.
At least got to figure out that riddle too. But so like I say, this isn't a knock against Luka Doncic. Because the only argument that I could make is Shaquille O'Neal. And in my opinion, Shaq is either the first or the second greatest center to ever live. I have him ever so narrowly behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But when that's the only comp that I can really make, I mean, if I was being gimmicky and funny and just want to flex some fucking hoop knowledge, Spencer Haywood, ABA, 30 points, 20 rebounds per game. Guy's absolutely fucking unstoppable. Wasn't the ABA. You know, 84 games, played all 84 games. Guy was an absolute the greatest rookie ever is Spencer Haywood after Michael Jordan. You have Michael Jordan, you have Spencer Haywood, right? But Michael Jordan was older in his rookie year.
I was also just going to say, part of the thing that makes it hard to decide if he's the greatest 20-year-old is that so many of the all-time greats spent 4 years at college because that was the norm.
Right.
So when they were 20, they were in their third year of college.
And that exactly. And like I say, like,
and
you,
college is a different game.
Right. And very like different. Like you, I was doing my research and I'm going, Luka's numbers are absurd. How do I find a guy that's, you know, equal even, right? Because when you're just looking at it from a what do you do per game, nobody's really fucking with Luka. Like, his numbers are just absolutely unbelievable. 21, 22 years old, but that was the reality of it. It wasn't one and done. You know?
So what we're saying is right now here on the podcast, Luka Doncic, best offensive 20-year-old ever. Shaquille O'Neal, best all-around 20-year-old ever.
In my opinion, yeah. Because,
can we agree with that? You're wearing a fucking Lakers toque, bro.
Like, yeah,
we
sure.
We own three chips.
And
sure,
seriously,
I mean, I love,
like,
Shaq just more than the next guy.
Even
like,
his
I fucking
LSU
love Shaq.
Highlight, like I say, like, we shouldn't be tiptoeing around this, saying that Shaq is still a better 20-year-old than Luka Doncic. Like, that is insanely high praise.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
fucking unbelievable. Because everybody's going, oh, yeah, he's better than LeBron James at 20 years old.
He is.
Everybody's... 100%
wise,
better than LeBron.
Oh, and just like the fact that no one's even trying to be like, oh, Michael Jordan was better. No one's trying to say that.
Well, because Jordan wasn't even in the league yet, though. Like, we were talking about the 3-4 years.
Best, he was
like
21.
If that's the conversation, best 20-year-olds, like, whatever, whether Jordan, you're talking about him in college or you're not counting him, it's just like, yeah, best 20-year-old, you are what you are.
Onto a college team today, his numbers drop by half. Because that's not how
just
they play hoop.
The game, yeah. But
and that's why Michael Jordan isn't in the conversation.
But basically, the NBA has not seen a guy who's 20 years old do what he's doing ever.
Absolutely not.
You've seen Shaq do some shit, but Shaq was doing different shit.
With the exception of LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal, and Luka Doncic.
Right.
That's it.
Those are your three greatest 20-year-olds to ever live, regardless of what arrangement you have. LeBron better be third.
They're also three different players.
Exactly.
In three different positions.
Drastically
in three different eras.
Yeah. Like you say, you've got just a guy absolutely unstoppable within 5 feet on both ends of the court in Shaquille O'Neal. You have an athlete that is unrivaled in a fucking 20-year-old LeBron James, right? Because that was his third year in the league at that time.
That was his second when he was 20.
Second league. But that was back when he was doing stuff you hadn't seen before, right? And then with Luka Doncic, you've just got this weird European point forward who couldn't be born in a better era than what he is right now.
The NBA is perfect for him.
He's built for space and speed.
Well, it's just like you have the athleticism with LeBron, but with Luka, it's just like the skill level is off the charts. And it's his skill, his ball handling skill, his control of the game, and his shooting is just... And his passing, they're all fucking insane.
He literally couldn't have come up better, and he couldn't have been born in a better time. You're a 6'8 point guard. The defense can't touch you. But you're going to play overseas in Europe from when you're 14 years old, where the game's drastically more physical, and you're playing grown men.
Yeah,
so when you get
to
the NBA, everything's soft as baby shit.
He's openly said that.
Yeah.
Did you see him tear his jersey in half the other night?
I did.
I loved it.
Yeah. I love it.
My favorite thing was I saw a post on Instagram and it said, fuck, I'd be tearing that jersey if I had to wear those ugly things too. Because, man, those Mavs City jerseys are whack.
I don't mind them.
Yeah, they look pretty horrible.
Really?
Yeah.
They're basically an uglier Seahawks.
They look like a music video from the, like, early to mid 90s, like AIDS is dangerous.
They look like some.
I usually hate jerseys pretty hard.
AIDS is dangerous.
AIDS is no longer dangerous. Yeah.
Back then it was.
They look like some fucking.
Hey, stay positive, kids.
They look like some fucking 12-year-old kid created them on Minecraft.
Oh, it looks like somebody's fucking with you.
They're really not cool.
I'm shocked you like
those. Really
I'm
not
shocked
cool.
you like those.
I didn't say I love them. Like they're just. I don't mind them.
They're like. Universally despised.
Am I going to go buy one? Fuck no.
Of course not.
No.
I don't need to get
certainly
jumped.
Certainly not.
I
mean, fuck.
So, in recent news, Mr. Finding the Edge himself, shoulder injury, crybaby bitch, Kyrie Irving is back to the NBA.
Talk to the people.
What did he go off for? 27-11 or something in his first game?
He looked good.
He looked really good.
He looked good. He's tough to hate on when he looks that
good.
It's
so weird how much I hate him.
He had 21 with 4 rebounds and 3 assists.
Maybe
it was an efficient field goal percentage.
10 for 11.
That's what it was.
Oh,
10 for 11.
So
that's why
miss.
I saw 11.
Exactly.
Yeah, he didn't miss. He was efficient. But, like, I hate him so much as a human that I hope he no longer succeeds in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm all the way there with you. Like, after he made those couple posts, it was in the off season with the protecting KD's circle and all that. And then that full page post he made about, like, putting people ahead of the product, blah, blah, blah. Like, shut the fuck up.
That's important. Dude.
Shut the fuck up.
That's very important.
Like, who are you?
Yeah.
Like, and you said, I'm going to quote you. Go fucking stock the shelves at Walmart for 12 hours, 5 days a week, Kyrie.
This isn't the news reporter telling LeBron shut up and dribble. This is a completely different thing, right? This isn't LeBron advocating, you know, for some sort of social rights or, you know, actually trying to make a difference in the community and being positive and
creating
and
a school for underprivileged kids and feeding them and getting them to school.
Like I say, nobody hates on LeBron James more than I do from a basketball standpoint, but as a human being. Hats off to you, sir.
He's the absolute cream of the
crop. You are literally the fucking example of what you should do with your money and your fame. To that, I give you credit. It is not shut up and dribble LeBron.
No.
This is whiny, pouty, bitchy, moany Kyrie Irving on some woe is me shit, making $25, $35, $40 million per year to play a game. To play a game. And you're doing nothing but bitch and moan and cry
and he,
about how difficult yeah, you have.
And he's bitching about the fact that people want him to play the game, that he's getting paid millions of dollars to play,
yeah.
or that people are wanting his teammate to play the game that he's getting paid millions of dollars to play. Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Tens
like,
of millions, Lee.
Yeah.
Tens of fucking millions.
It makes no sense.
It pisses me off something fierce. It's almost like, LeBron and Kyrie are just completely yin and yang of each other, 100%. Yeah. If you go back to the Cav years when they beat the Warriors in the playoffs, you know, I love Kyrie on the court. Amazing. So
yeah,
cool.
He was dope.
LeBron on the court, biggest bitch in the entire world. Off court, complete opposite.
Yeah.
We should put them together as one human being. And then there will be one person we despise completely and one person we love completely.
I'm into it. Yeah, I'm into it.
He is. He's astounding, though. He's your fucking jaw is on the floor watching him operate as a human being.
It's just that handle, right? Like, his handle is, it's like the ball is on a string at all times.
Yeah.
Even when he missed dribbles, somehow it ends up back in his hand, and he's still moving and spinning and laying.
Yeah, but honestly, man, the more we talk about it, the more I'm like, when you were injured, Spencer Dinwiddie put up the same numbers, so I really don't care
facts.
That much.
True.
Yeah.
Facts. It's just that handle.
It's
though.
Just yeah. He's it's got like handle. he's got like the nice dribble package, and he's good for highlights.
He gets lots of VC at his flat Earth meetings.
Yeah,
send
like,
it to him in private messages.
He's got the elite 17 dribble package, but like, man. You're not all that.
Yeah, like they say in the Bible.
There's a lot
like
of good point guards out there.
Like
if Kyrie Irving was available and your team had the space and didn't have a point guard, do you want him or someone else?
Someone else. Absolutely. Because I've experienced that firsthand with the Boston Celtics.
That's very true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it depends on the who someone else is. But, like, yeah, if it was up to me, like, regardless of salary or anything, like, I'd rather have Kemba Walker, like, someone who seems just like a good dude who has a brain inside of his head, who's a good basketball player, and he'll do the right thing for your team rather than just, like, be a weird little bitch, say a bunch of stupid shit, and go for highlights. Like, yeah,
locker
give me
room,
Kemba.
Locker room chemistry is everything. That's the reality of it, right? Like, it even got to greatness. Like Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant.
If Kyrie blows Kevin Durant in the locker room, is that going to bring the team closer together or push them apart?
It's tough to say.
Because that might happen.
I feel like DeAndre Jordan might get jealous.
Nobody wants any part of that hammer.
Kyrie never looks at me like that.
So it's rumored that Zion Williamson is making his return, and obviously we know that because we watch a lot of basketball. We're seeing him back and in the news, in the feeds, everywhere, all over TV. I'm super excited about it.
Me too.
Crazy thing is we all thought the Pelicans were going to be better, but we thought Zion was going to be there that whole time,
mm-hmm.
making them better, being that guy, and he wasn't. He's been out for, what, 39 games or something?
All of that, yeah.
But the Pelicans are only four wins out of a playoff spot.
Fucking remarkable.
In the West.
And they're, what are they, 14th, 15th?
14th seed. So one person below them, they only have to win. They won five games straight, and the Grizzlies lost three in a row.
Yeah.
They could end up in the 8th seed and be in the playoffs.
Yeah, so the Pelicans are, it's second last, and the only team worse than them is the Warriors, who get the Warriors record, let's take a moment to appreciate.
A moment of silence.
Is 9-32.
Mm. Oh, buddy. That I actually just got hard. I know you guys can't see it because it's under the table.
Yeah, that is.
I'm grunting into the microphone.
First of all, that's a beautiful thing. I fucking love it. And yeah, weirdly, because the bottom of the West right now is so shitty, the Pelicans are they're in the playoff hunt. It's fucking crazy. What a time to be alive.
What a time to be
halfway
alive.
Halfway through the NBA season, you can be the 14th seed and you're all the way in it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, the Thunder and the Grizzlies, who I believe, is that correctly? You got it in front of you, the
yeah,
seventh and the eighth seeds?
Yeah. No, yeah, Thunder, Grizzlies, yep.
Not good basketball teams.
Ja Morant's.
Well, no, the Grizzlies are 18-22. Like, they're well below 500.
Yeah, Ja Morant's wild. Jared Jackson's wild.
A lot of that, though, is just, like, the teams in the West are all so good after a point. You know what I mean? There's a few great teams, but then a lot of good ones.
The West has been surprisingly bad. I can't tell but if like it's
bad,
because
bad
the,
because they're playing each other more and they're playing
all
the talent.
It's difficult to tell.
Yeah, if you drop the Grizzlies into the Eastern Conference, they're probably fifth or sixth, right?
It takes some high-level analytics to really have a good answer on this, but I think you're right.
I think you're right. I still feel confident that the West overall, from one to fucking... I guess in this case, 14.
The premier center up until 2018 was Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, the top, top to bottom, I'd still give the nod to the West. Actually, answering the question, one fucking ecstatic that Zion Williamson is dangerous. Did you say Thursday potentially?
I did not, because you wrote that for me, and I don't like to read anymore. Well, I talk point.
Yeah, I've been reading about. I've been following Zion.
Every day that he's on the bench, I get less excited about his return because I forget about him a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because it's been almost a year since I've seen him play.
Yeah, and right. You forget that, like, he might just come out and be unlike any player we've ever seen.
He might
seen.
Be like Shaq.
He might just be like a mini Shaq.
Every single... We were talking about this, what is now months and months and months ago, unfortunately. But we were talking about Zion Williamson meeting the challenge and exceeding the expectation at every single juncture where you think he's going to fail.
Yeah, so far.
Where you're going, okay, finally, the guy's just a dunker. He's too fucking short. He's going to be exposed. He shows up. He shoots 75, 80%. He gives you highlight after highlight after highlight.
Tears apart the NCAA.
Completely unguarded. Well, and again, Summer League showed up, ripped it apart, didn't fucking miss, right? Shout out to both Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, by the way.
First of all, I never thought I would hear you say... Shout out Lonzo Ball again.
Yeah, keeping the faith.
100%.
No, but
I was a little on board.
Keep in mind who was reminding everybody just how fucking nasty Lonzo Ball was this whole time. And that despite his daddy and me hating him, he's a cold motherfucker. With that being said, lost faith a little bit there.
He wavered a tiny little bit.
I fully admit it is good to see Lonzo Ball balling. Which I think is actually flying under the radar because people are... The only reason, and I didn't mention this on the last episode, and I meant to. I'm shocked I didn't. But the only reason I was paying attention to Lonzo's game log was I was playing old lunch kit Lee Henwood here.
I know what this story is about.
In the Fantasy Basketball League, and I am notorious for not setting my lineup or giving a fuck about fantasy basketball. But I'm like, I want to be a part of it, you know? But then once it starts, I'm like, it's not fantasy football. I don't care. But...
That's the excuse that he uses for coming in second or last. Second last or last every
Lee,
year.
But it doesn't matter who was victorious in the head-to-head match without Carl Anthony Towns. Without Paul George.
Dude, I could make excuses for my team all day.
I'm not making any excuses. I'm just saying I won.
What happened? Who were you playing?
I was playing Lee.
Oh, and what happened?
I won.
I think that was the point he was
trying
to get
across. That's the point I was trying to... And the only reason that I knew that all of these things took place was because it was the first time all year that I monitored my team, right? I'm playing lunch kid. I got to let him know who's...
So wait. You got Lonzo on your...
I got Lonzo Ball on my fantasy team.
Of course you do.
That boy been lighting it up, man. He's been flirting with 20-point triple-doubles. The stroke's been looking good. He was atrocious tonight, unfortunately. I think he was like 5 for 22 or something laughable. But when I needed to come through against Lee, my boy sorted me out.
Mad respect.
Brandon Ingram as well.
He's
Holy
a shifty little fuck.
Holy shit, that kid
You
can
and
play
I were watching
basketball.
The Pelicans game, what, Saturday?
Yeah.
And like... He's shifty. He's fast. He's very Kevin Durant-esque, like they said he would be.
Yeah.
I find when I'm watching him, there's just some, I don't know if it's grit or strength or whatever. He's missing something for me.
He doesn't have the handle, and he doesn't have the face-up game of Kevin Durant. He's great with his back to the basket. ironically. He can't really back guys down, but when he has an opportunity to have his back to the basket and go into the fadeaway over either shoulder, he's elite there. But he doesn't seem to, in my opinion at least, doesn't seem to be elite from a face-up standpoint. Where I'm going with all of this, though, Lonzo Ball's looking real good. Brandon Ingram's looking real good. Jackson Hayes, who they took 10th overall.
He's a subtle favorite for me. I love his game. He's going to be a superstar.
He's scary good. He's really raw, but he's a freak fucking athlete, and he just plays the game the right way.
He's so fast and so long.
Well, and he can jump out of the gym.
For a seven-footer to be able to stride up and down the court like that is scary, especially when you're talking about Alonzo Ball running the fast break. You got Brandon Ingram on one wing, and soon you're going to have Zion Williamson on the other wing. I don't know how many games the New Orleans Pelicans are going to win, and I'm certainly not saying they're going to be a top four team in the West, but if they can stay healthy across the board...
Are they making playoffs? Is that what you're saying?
If Zion Williamson plays at least 35 of the remaining 40 or so games, I think the New Orleans Pelicans will be the eighth seed in the playoffs.
It's definitely not something that I would say is impossible by any means.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, man. I've been watching a lot of Pelicans this year.
Improbable,
I'd love to see them
likely,
do well.
But like their starting lineup is actually pretty filthy. What is it? Ingram at the three, Hayes at the five, Zion at the four.
And at full like strength, usually, it would be Lonzo Ball at point guard. It would be Drew Holiday at shooting guard. It would be Brandon Ingram at small forward. It would be and Zion Williamson at power forward, and then either Jackson Hayes or Jahlil Okafor at center with J.J. Redick, Etuan Moore, Josh Hart off the bench.
Yeah.
They got a real nice eight players.
But they've been weirdly...
And Derek Favors.
Yeah, they've been weirdly playing Derek Favors over Hayes like all season, and Hayes is just
it's
popping
one of those
off because Favors is out. But.
It's so strange because like every time I've watched a Pelicans game, Hayes plays, and he plays unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. It's like, just like they don't trust him all the way yet because he's just a kid.
It was the same thing they did with Kobe. He was just a kid, and they made him sit a lot until he like finally got some minutes and starts to pop, and they're like, okay, fine, we'll give you a couple more.
In today's NBA, there's absolutely no reason not to play your young talent because we have example after example after example of first and second year guys being able to show up into this NBA with the drastically reduced borderline non-existing contact and skillful players, regardless of age and experience. If you can get buckets, you can go get buckets in today's league.
Nobody's
right?
there to stop you.
Jackson Hayes, every time...
Dennis Rodman isn't giving you a fucking forearm across
correct.
The face.
Every time Jackson Hayes gets north of 26 minutes, he has a double-double. Quit being so fucking cute about it. Quit going, oh, he's the vet, we got to play him. Put your young talent, especially when you're 14th in the West. Fuck off.
Yeah, like
play
what,
your
when
young
you're
talent,
that
play your
far
boys.
Down the West and you're in the fucking West, why wouldn't you want your young guys to get experience in minutes as often as possible?
No, I'm with you. They should.
That doesn't make any
yeah,
sense.
They totally should. And they'll probably like they have just as good a shot of making the playoffs if they just play the young guys. Like Derek,
I think they
Derek
have a,
Favors isn't doing
I think
you
they
any
have a,
favors.
Oh, boy. I think that they actually will be better off if they're playing the young guys.
They, oh, yeah, 100%.
They're hungry, man.
Oh, 100%.
A vet in fucking Smoothie King Arena doesn't give a fuck.
That lineup that we just took you through, Ball, Holiday, Ingram, Zion, Hayes, do you know what really isn't an easy night? Trying to run with those young bastards for 30, 35 minutes, up and down, up and down, up and down. They're going to run the fucking brakes off teams. They're going to be
they're
dead
all fast.
Tired, man.
They're
fast.
They're all conditioned.
They can jump out of the gym. They're elite athletes at every position, right? Lonzo Ball is slept on as a pure athlete. Every time he has a lane to the rim.
I can think of one guy in sports media who slept on him. Well, not slept on. Shit talked. That's what it was.
Yes.
It was you. All last season.
Oh, yeah. All last season, for sure. Yeah, the shot's broken, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. It's busted.
In any case.
He's not dipping anymore. He's not dipping.
He's not dipping. Anyways, I can't fucking wait for Zion Williamson to be. I hope that he can come back and he can just play.
I hope.
Right? Don't tease me.
I hope the minutes restriction is only for the first handful of games.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to come along pretty slow on that one.
I would imagine so.
But they got to be careful with that. He's a big asset. But, man, that little
so
clip of that.
Fucking big,
that
man.
Little clip of that drop step between the legs dunk.
Was,
it's like,
there
it,
was another
when you
one,
watch him, it doesn't even make sense. You're like, how is that burly motherfucker even able
he was
to
in,
do that?
He was in full warm-up gear and like it, what looked like might have been a jersey underneath the other night. Like, he was warming up before they let the fans in, like, the initial warm-up. And, like, same thing, he was getting alley-oop passes. Like, he's just...
He just might come out and blow people's minds. In the same way he did in high school, in the same way he did in college.
The NBA is more appealing to his game style than college.
The thing that makes him so scary is his handle.
Well, he's got the handle, but the way that he attacks the hoop is... He's so aggressive, and it's like, man, anyone gets close to touching you, you're going to the line. So you're going to end up a lot of times with guys just saying, oh, go right ahead. Oh, go tomahawk all over my whole team, because they just can't get in front of them quickly enough to draw a charge. And if you're not drawing a charge, you can't touch them.
And that's the thing. If you're gonna say that defenders can't stay in front of Luka Doncic, if you're gonna say that Luka Doncic is in the perfect era in a game that or in an era that suits his game and his style, if you're gonna say that about Luka Doncic, you better say it about Zion Williamson, because he's not just this like stiff, useless, just pass me the ball or throw me a lob when it's a gimme free dunk. Like, this guy was running point forward at Duke.
Yeah, it's like you give him the ball on the 3-point line, and it's like chances are the dude guarding him is not going to stay in front of him. He's blowing by him somehow.
And that's the reality of it. Like, you're talking about a guy who's got a handle. He's got a first step. And then the second that the head's down and he's going at the rim,
can't stop.
Unlike any other ever.
If he can only figure out how to start releasing his jump shot above his head, oh, man, we're in trouble.
His jumper's a little ugly. They've got a jump shot problem for sure.
It's a little ugly.
But again, Zion...
That is three really awkward-looking jump shots between Ingram... Ball.
Nah, Ingram's shot's fine, but Lonzo and Zion are
they're bad looking. Like, it's not sexy. But the good news is Zion hasn't been making his money on pull up jump shots.
That's true. Yeah.
No, he's paid to dunk to and get rebounds. His putback dunks are just so aggressive and so filthy.
Yeah, I'd be excited to see the first game he comes back.
I hope
back,
he comes man. Back and fucking tears the league apart.
Me too.
I don't want no Greg Oden, you know, what if, you're too freaky athlete bullshit going. I want you to show up, and I want you to rip the league apart.
Yeah.
So.
Team Zion.
We're a little under our window that we usually shoot for. And by shoot for, I mean just naturally fill the timeline.
By accident.
No, I feel it, though. I see where you're going with this, and I feel it.
Do we talk about Twitter beef?
Nah, it's like played out already. KD's a bitch. Perkins called him out. Whatever.
Yeah, see, but now we need to talk about it, because like I kind of think that...
Shut the fuck up, Kendrick Perkins.
But what about when Kendrick Perkins chirped him about going to the Warriors after being up 3-1? Because that's the biggest bitch move in history.
Undoubtedly, but it's like, Perkins, you have no grounds to critique any basketball player about anything ever.
Yeah, but neither do we, and here we are for the 55th time. It's like, it's just what people do.
But we're also not directly calling Kevin Durant out.
No, I really am.
And
like,
getting
Kevin
a response.
Durant, you are a bitch, and that was the weakest move NBA history. At Kevin Durant.
But that's the thing,
that
though,
was a bitch move.
Is we actually have more grounds to speak on and insult Kevin Durant than Kendrick Perkins does.
Why? He was his teammate. He knows the dude. And Kendrick Perkins was one of the guys who was with him who then got pieced out to go against that team who we almost had. Like, wouldn't you be more insulted if you were actually on that team?
Well,
I think I
wouldn't
would.
You be
yeah,
more
but
insulted
I'd be aware
if you were
of who
a starting
I am.
Center and you had 2 points and 3 boards?
Yeah, but I mean, like, Kendrick Perkins isn't out there trying to pretend he was Hakeem Olajuwon.
You could have started center on that team and got the same stats Kendrick Perkins did.
Maybe.
You're not allowed to talk when you're Kendrick Perkins.
But he's getting paid to talk.
No, I get
it. Kendrick Perkins wasn't just tweeting. He's getting deals to go on shows and talk.
Which
that's
is mind-boggling.
That's his job now.
Which is mind-boggling. Credit to Kendrick Perkins, though. This is the most relevant conversation he's ever been a part of.
Yeah, we've never mentioned him on this show before.
We never will.
That's for damn sure.
Never will
wasn't
again.
Wasn't he like the center, backup
he was the
center
on the
Celtics. For your Celtics?
No, he was starting.
Wow.
He was starting. That's
and
how
won, and they won a championship.
That's how good the rest of the team was.
Wow, that's shocking.
Yeah. Well, fuck that big four: Rondo, Allen, Pierce, KG. Stop it.
Rondo was a rookie, and we always forget that.
Rondo was dog nasty back then.
He was. His no look passing and just his court. I wouldn't even say vision because he wasn't looking. His court presence
awareness.
And sense
yeah.
and awareness. His would he have like an 18th sense?
Yeah, there was about a year and a half, 2 years where Rondo had the case as the best pure point guard in basketball. He was unfucking believable. Two things to take from this conversation. Yes, Kevin Durant is the snake bitch, the Eastward Ho, as he's been rebranded. And
I
two,
like
Kendrick Perkins, like Kyrie Irving, just shut the fuck up about everything. Truly.
We just found the co-host of Finding the Edge.
Kyrie featuring Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah. That's good television.
I'm on Team Kendrick on this one. I don't know.
I hate to say it, but we're going to end early.
Let's wrap it up.
No. We're gonna be back in
2 We are going to be
one
back
sleep.
In 2 days.
No, 2 sleeps. We'll
yeah,
be back.
Like we're going to be back in 2 days, but we're not going to launch that episode for 10.
Oh, it's okay.
Because I'm going on vacation.
You're not going on vacation.
I'm going to get married.
Yeah, you're going to go get married.
Yeah.
It's
what
different.
A beautiful thing that
golf,
is.
Golf, 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 wedding, scuba, mountain bike down a volcano, golf. Yeah.
Sounds like a good time.
Should be okay.
It's a shame we weren't invited, eh, Lee?
Yeah.
Sometime
name,
in February.
Name one person.
Sometime
from
in February, we'll see them.
Hey. Hey, okay. You guys made the top 80.
Yeah.
Oh, top
lucky
80.
Us.
Well, we're the fucking Dolph Shays of all these friends group.
Well, the wedding I invited. You made my top 14.
Hey, okay.
Okay.
That's pretty
good. I'm okay with the top 14.
Yeah, we'll take
nothing
it.
Nothing else needed.
We'll take
I've never been in the top 14.
We'll take
there
it.
You go.
That's pretty
high. Top 14 is better than nothing.
Oh, that's.
Right? Ooh. You know, we should incorporate this into our game as well, and that's teasers. Next episode, we're going to talk about Lee and Dolph Shays.
Ooh.
Oh, shit. We were supposed to talk about that today.
No,
let's talk, let's save
that.
It.
I want to save it.
Let's save it. We need to open the show. We need to give the people what they want off the jump.
To all you listeners who listen all the time, most of my friends are friends from Victoria. Next week, we're going to start our new segment, It Happened, when we talk about blindfolded MJ and Kobe, whether Lee could beat them.
Couldn't. I still think couldn't. I could.
Couldn't.
Still
couldn't.
Think I could.
Couldn't.
Resounding
couldn't.
No from the west side couldn't. Of the room.
Well, and just
east side's feeling pretty basic. Confident.
It's just me, but I think I could.
I don't know what we're going to call the segment. It might be lunch break. I don't know. We'll see. But
listeners, if you have ideas,
if you have ideas, send us a message on Facebook, Instagram, email us at info@wecan'tdunk.com. If you got any names for that segment or any players, past, present, future, if they have to have a handicap, whether or not Lunch Kit Lee could beat them.
They have to have a handicap.
Yes. And I am
it's
gonna
the only
post,
way it's a conversation.
I am going to post Lee's highlight clip from high school.
Ooh.
We are going to mash it up with Dolph Shays in the future, but I need you to see Lee's game first.
Yep.
So you can make some good assessments of where we're at and who he could take on with certain handicaps.
Yeah. Everybody needs to know what type of game Lee had.
Yeah. It's a drop step dunk kind of game, you know?
It's a drop step dunk.
Watch out. I
Why
was good.
Are you behind the 3-point line? You're the tallest player on the court.
In the city.
Ass fuck.
Yeah.
Off the glass, turnarounds, fallaways.
Yeah.
Gotta
you
love
you
that.
Were the best player on your high school team, eh?
I was the best player in the city. I won the city scoring championship.
Did you really? He was the best player in the city, yeah.
Like, easy.
Give you buckets. Like, when I talk money. About people about basketball, they know Lee because he was the best basketball player.
That's
the
dope.
Yeah.
That's dope.
That was good.
We should get him and Sean, my friend who was probably the best player, second best player in the city. They should play one-on-one.
Yes.
But they have to drink a beer every 5 minutes.
Every bucket.
Every
time
bucket,
you get scored on.
Every time you get scored on.
Beer.
Sean, I know
Sounds
you don't
like
listen to the
game.
Show, but I'm going to make you listen to this 2 seconds.
Let's do it.
It's happening.
So this is the same Lee Henwood that the Half Cock podcast called out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Led the city in scoring.
Yeah. Why do you think I'm so confident I'm going to have 11 assists?
Yes. Let's just say there's no Cole Bain's high school highlight tape.
Turbo, no.
He made an ass groove in the bench similar to the ass groove you've made in this fucking bench.
I might have a better highlight tape than Cole Bain's.
Cool.
Love you,
I'm
Cole.
Here. Yeah. I'm here. I'm
we
here.
Love you, Cole. We fuck you, it. Cole. You have no idea the humiliation that's
we
coming to
you. We cannot wait to put our weekend on nuts in your half-cock podcast mouth. As always, I'm here with Lunch Kit Lee Henwood.
Yes, indeed. Check out my highlight tape. It is hot fire. Don't burn your eyeballs.
And?
It's always a pleasure, never a chore.
Nope.
Don't forget to pack a motherfucker.
Yeah, buddy.
That's good. Kevin Durant, the Eastward Ho.
Cool. And that guy that I won't introduce on the way out of the show.